This week is the second week, and it's the candle of faith. Faith, according to God, is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The Bible also tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. You see, faith is essential in our relationship with God. And I'm sure during this Advent season, you are going to have lots of opportunities to share your faith with family and friends and neighbors. In fact, it very well may be that your faith will be tested during this Christmas season, like it was for Zechariah last week and Mary this week. So let me read you the story of Mary from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. You know, no matter what you face in your life, your faith in God will always carry you through. Let me repeat that. I don't want you to miss it. No matter what you face in life, your faith in God will carry you through. So I trust that during this Advent season, your faith will grow and your love for God will increase as you trust in Him. Let me light our candle and let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be saved and we can have a restored relationship with you. Father, this morning I thank you for the people in our lives who shared their faith with us that we might place our faith in you for eternal life. Help us during this Advent season to take the many opportunities that present themselves to share our faith with others, that they might also respond to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world and of our lives. Father, may our faith increase each and every day as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we offer to you our thankful praise this day for the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us. Father, we offer them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Over spiritual life. And Nazareth was also the home of the Roman garrison of the land. It was a military camp, and what you typically find in military camps was there in Nazareth. All forms of sin and corruption was there. And this was where the angel appeared. Having an angel visit you was not a normal occurrence, not even in biblical times. In fact, every time an angel appeared to someone in Scripture, it produced a great reaction, typically fear. See, Mary didn't have the knowledge that the angel had already appeared to Zechariah, because that took place in the temple in Jerusalem. You know, in the Christmas story, I think we often overlook Gabriel and his role in that. He was an archangel. He was a messenger of God. And he was also connected always with communicating about the Messiah. Every appearance that we see of Gabriel in Scripture is connected with the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, Mary didn't know about that this was Gabriel. She didn't know that he had appeared already to Zechariah. All that she knew at this moment in time was that before her stood an angel of the Lord. And to think that this angel had a message from God for her. Now, she couldn't imagine what the Lord would have to say to her. I mean, she's just barely a teenager. And she's a servant girl. And though she got recently engaged to be married to this local carpenter named Joseph, there was nothing special about her. She couldn't imagine what in the world this angel had to say as a messenger from God. Well, first, this angel tells her that she is highly favored. And he repeats this fact in verse 30 with these words. He says, "You have found favor with God." Well, naturally, Mary's question, which would be our question, is how? What did I do to gain the favor of God? And the answer is, she didn't do anything. There was nothing in her life that caused her to warrant the favor of God. And that's the same for you and me. We don't deserve the favor of God. Not ever. We are recipients of God's grace only because of his great love for us. The reason why Mary was highly favored is because she was a recipient of God's grace in her life. The Apostle Paul reminds us of this truth in 1 Corinthians 15:10. He writes there, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me." Mary reminds us that God uses ordinary human beings, and then he showers his grace upon us. And that makes them capable and prepared to do amazing things in their lives that bring glory to God. In Mary's situation, she was about to receive an unbelievable assignment from God. Why did the angel begin this message with encouraging words to Mary that she had found favor with God? Well, remember, when angels appeared to people, most often they were communicating judgment from God. Fear was the natural reaction when an angel showed up and communicated from God in your life. So Gabriel right away began to communicate, "You have nothing to be afraid about. God's grace rests upon you." And when God's grace rests upon us, we have no fear of judgment in our lives. And this Mary understood right away. Well, then Gabriel repeats his message from God. He says, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." You know, of all the things that had been running through Mary's mind in that split second when the angel showed up, what in the world this message could be, I am assured that this is not the message that she thought. Not in her wildest imagination could she have envisioned that this is what the Lord had in mind for her. That she would be chosen to be the mother of the promised Messiah. You know, last week we looked at Zechariah's announcement from Gabriel, and we thought that that was pretty impossible. But God certainly outdid himself this time with this message to Mary. And from last week's sermon, we remember how Zechariah responded. And remember, Zechariah was a priest. He was a mature man of God. And so it makes you wonder how Mary, a simple servant girl, would respond to the same message. I guess the easiest way to figure that out is to say, how would you have responded if you were in Mary's sandals? Before we get to that, though, I want to talk just a minute about Gabriel's choice of words about the coming child. He's described in verse 31 as great and the Son of the Most High. And right from the very beginning, God made it clear that this child would be the eternal Son of the eternal God. But at the same time, he would receive the body of flesh and he would be born as a human child. In other words, he was going to be fully God and fully man with a human mother and God as his father. But also notice Gabriel's choice of words concerning the work of this child, Jesus. He notes in verse 32 and 33, three significant words. They're highlighted there in yellow. Throne, house, and kingdom. Some of you may remember this prophecy that was written in 2 Samuel chapter 7 in verse 16. There God said, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. And it's in that verse, that prophecy, that God is promising David that one of his sons was going to sit on David's throne and he was going to rule over David's kingdom. And all the Jews were aware, fully aware of that promise. And they would recognize in the words of Gabriel the fulfillment of that very promise of God. See, Mary was about to give birth to the one who would fulfill this promise, and he would become the Savior of the world. Gabriel said to her that she was going to become the mother of the promised Messiah. Now, I don't know if she fell to the ground with that. I think I would have. Her initial response is found in verse 34. And she said, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. But after Mary's surprise comes Mary's surrender. Last week we saw Zechariah respond to the incredible announcement that he and Elizabeth were going to have a child, even though they were well beyond childbearing years, with unbelief. And you remember, he asked Gabriel for proof. And even though he had been praying for years for a son to God, when the announcement came, he doubted God's ability, his power to do it. But Mary, on the other hand, was merely asking for an explanation of how this reality could occur since she was a virgin. It was a question of honest puzzlement, not one of doubt. In fact, Mary has already accepted the fact that it's going to occur. She's only asking a question is, how can this happen physically because I'm a virgin? You see, Mary's response affirmed the truth of verse 37, that with God, nothing is impossible. She just lacked understanding about how this is going to happen. Well, Gabriel answered Mary's legitimate question with this explanation in verse 35. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will become, be called the Son of God. Gabriel saying, listen, a miracle of God is about to occur. Gabriel informs Mary that the creative power of the Most High is going to overshadow her. In much the same way as the Shekinah glory had rested over the tabernacle of Israel in the desert, that signified the presence of God. This overshadowing, or this cloud, was also seen in the transfiguration when Jesus was taken up into heaven. And there, the voice of God the Father comes from the cloud, identifying Jesus Christ as his Son. Well, in Mary's case, the presence of God that overshadowed her produced the seed from which this child would be born. Because of that, the child therefore is going to be the Son of God. See, Jesus was not the son of Joseph, but rather the result of the work of the Holy Spirit of God in Mary's life. This, by everyone or anyone's definition, is a miracle of God. This holy birth. Because a child would not be born to a human father, he would also, because of that, not be born with a sin nature. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 tells us, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. The one man referred to here in Romans chapter 5 is Adam, the head of the human race. We inherit our sin nature from Adam, but not the baby born to Mary, whose name would be Jesus, because he was not born of man, but rather born of God. He had no sin nature. Jesus is the one and only Son of the Heavenly Father. He was born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit, and as such, he was born holy, without sin. He was born fully God and fully man. The scriptures testify to this truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And then 1 John 3, 5. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him, Jesus, is no sin. No sin. Well, though Mary asked for proof, didn't ask for proof like Zechariah did before her, Gabriel provided a sign of confirmation to her that God could and would accomplish this miracle in her life. This was given not to prove, but to substantiate her faith expressed already in what the Lord was going to do. It was confirmation of her faith. And the confirmation was simply that Mary's relative, Elizabeth, would give birth in just 3 months. Now, this was the first time that Mary had heard about this. And it confirmed to her that God, who had the power to allow Zechariah and Elizabeth to have a child, though well beyond childbearing years, if God could accomplish that, then God could accomplish with what he said would happen to Mary. Gabriel, through this, reminded her that with God, nothing is impossible. Not the birth of a child without a human father, not the birth of a child to parents well beyond childbearing years. God has unlimited power. You know, I trust that in our lives, in your life, that you are seeing that, you're reminded of these truths through the ministry of our church in these days. that God's provision to us through answers to prayers in our lives and struggles that we face, through meaningful worship experiences that we have together where we hear from God and He speaks into our lives, for the opportunities that we have in and through our ministries to live out the gospel, to share the good news of faith in Jesus Christ and eternal life that's found in Him. I trust that those give you a glimpse into the unlimited power of God that reminds each and every one of us that nothing, and I mean nothing, is impossible with God. I don't know what you're facing in all of your lives. I don't know what you're going to face tomorrow or next week, but God does. And we need to be reminded during this Advent season, just like Mary was, that with God, nothing is impossible. That our God has unlimited power accessible to us through faith in Him. This fact, this realization, this reminder bolstered Mary's faith. Well, then we see her response of faith. The privilege, but the responsibility of bearing the Messiah was not thrust on Mary apart from her will. But the fact that God presented this to her and looking for her willing submission, and Mary gave it. Mary answered Gabriel in verse 38 with these words, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Mary was presented with this opportunity to serve God by bearing His Son, the Messiah of the world. Her willing submission was sought and it was granted. Because she was a servant of God, it would be her privilege to serve Almighty God in this way. You see, Mary yielded her life to God despite the overwhelming situation that this created for her. Think of it. Everyone who knew her had to assume that she was morally impure. Her own family and her closest friends probably concluded that she was sexually impure. And Joseph, well, what could he conclude? But, I mean, he knew that he wasn't the father of the child. And yet, she was still pregnant. Mary knew that under the law, Joseph could have her stoned to death for being unfaithful to him during this engagement period. And at the very least, depending upon the grace of Joseph, she would have her marriage terminated. Her dream of a happy marriage and a happy family and a happy life was gone. Her dreams, her hopes were vanishing. And in spite of that, she responded in faith and yielded her life to God. During this Advent season, I challenge you to imitate the faith of Mary. Yield yourself to God. The cost doesn't matter. Because the person who had the most to lose gained the most by submitting, surrendering herself to God. Her response to God was, "I am faithfully yours." See, the challenge before us this morning is to surrender our lives fully to God. Now, I suspect that many of us would rather commit our life to Him, because that allows us to remain in control and make our own choices. Surrender means that you give up your rights. And that's exactly what Mary did, and exactly what God is looking for each one of us as his children. Whatever God is asking of you in these days, how are you responding? I doubt it's as spectacular as Mary's situation. I don't think an angel has visited. You may not even be asked to change the world through your participation. And it may not even include a miracle of God. It might be that your situation resembles more like that guy on the cliff who fell off and is hanging on to that little tree limb. You're stuck and the solution defies logic. And it defies your idea of common sense. Well, you need to choose to trust the Lord if you have any chance of surviving. So what are you going to do? Is fear going to paralyze you? Or is the knowledge that God's grace rests upon you that will drive away your fear and allow you to trust him with the outcome of your situation? You see, the virgin birth is truly the most amazing demonstration of God's power. It reminds us that with God, there is nothing that is impossible. But can we trust him with our lives? Can you trust him with your life? Will you surrender your life to him? I pray that during this Advent season that you will pray and you will tell God, like Mary, that you are faithfully his. Let's pray and commit that to God. Lord, we are humbled as we look at Mary and her situation and her response to you in this situation. We acknowledge, Father, that there are times in our lives that we have a hard time trusting in you. It seems like, Father, the more important the decision is, the harder it is for some of us to trust in you. I pray, Father, that you would help us and remind us this day that your power is unlimited, that your grace to us is new and overwhelming to us. I pray, God, that you would help us to respond in faith to the situations that come up in our lives. Father, it doesn't matter what they are. Father, might our lives be lived recognizing that with God, nothing is impossible. And so we trust you. We surrender our lives to you. May it be to us as you desire. We commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.